Turn in your Bible, please, to Numbers, the 21st chapter, verse number 4. We want to think on the subject, when discouraged, stay focused. This is speaking of the children of Israel, and when they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let us pray. Father, we need you today. We ask you to lead and to guide. And Lord, speak to our hearts from your word. We pray for that soul that's discouraged, that today they can find encouragement in you. And we pray for the person who is not saved. They do not have eternal life. And should they die in their present condition, they would be lost forever and go into an awful place of punishment. But we pray today the Holy Spirit of God will arrest their attention and turn their attention to the Lord Jesus, and they will trust Him to save them. And this very day, they will become a new creature in Christ. We'll give you praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The children of Israel had left Egypt, and they had come to the land of Eden. But Eden would not allow the children of Israel to pass through their land. So they had to go around Eden. And the Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Mentally, they did not understand. It was confusing times to them. Emotionally, they were drained, and they were losing the will to proceed, all because of the way. Now, the way has a reference to their journey, the way they live, their circumstances. And note, not one of them went back to Egypt, though their circumstances were not convenient. And we must always allow for the sovereignty of God in our circumstances. Now, discouraging times come to everyone. Discouragement comes to the spiritual, the unspiritual, the strong, the weak, the well, the sick, the rich, the poor, the saved, the lost. Circumstances discourage us. Other people discourage us. We become discouraged because of our inability to do or accomplish certain things. But we must never look at circumstances or listen to the faith killers. Circumstances were not always favorable for the Lord Jesus. People betrayed him. Men tried to kill him. And the devil confronted him. But he continued on his mission of going to the cross and dying for our sins. He stayed focused. Someone said, "The dove flew in with perfect peace. I looked at the dove, and the peace left." This, no matter how bad or how well things are going, just stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the discouragement or the blessing, and the peace will leave. We must not live by emotions, whether they be good or bad. We must at all times live by the Word of God. You see, clouds may blot out the sun from us momentarily, but beyond the clouds, the sun is always brightly shining. Remember, clouds pass. They move on. So if clouds of adversity have filled the sky of your life, remember, clouds will pass, and the sun, the S-O-N, is always shining. Why, in a day of spreading terrorism, focus on God. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect, completed work in His death, burial, and resurrection. When war clouds have gathered on every continent, focus on God and His mighty power. When the economy is in shambles, focus on God and His promise and ability to provide for His own. When immorality is accepted and morality is rejected, focus on God and His holiness. When incurable diseases are spreading like wildfire, focus on God and the new body that we will have when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. When truth has fallen in the streets, focus on God and His righteousness and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth. When Eastern religions are gaining momentum like a hurricane on an open sea, stay focused on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When life is empty and we're helpless and life seems hopeless, stay focused on God. He is the help of the helpless. And when we don't know what to do, focus on soul winning. Help some wayfaring man find the way home. Focus on missions. Do not lose the heartbeat for missions. There are over 7 billion people on planet Earth. At least one-third have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever how great your mission program may be, it is not a speck in the ocean of need. Focus on faithfulness to the Bible, prayer, and local church. And be sure, be very sure, to focus on our total dependence on God. And focus on the greatness of God. Focus on God as a creator. Listen, astronomers have estimated that the Earth's weight is 5,900 sextillion tons. That is 5,900 followed by 18 zeros. And the Lord spoke it into existence and upholds it with the word of His power. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heaven. That's Proverbs 3:19. Says the Lord, by wisdom. Wisdom means skillful, artful, be wise. Founded means to sit down together and take counsel. The triune God sat down together, exercised their wisdom, and set the earth in its orbit by speaking it into existence. Through His infinite wisdom, God artfully and skillfully founded the earth. This is His earth. He founded it. He knows every hill, every mountain stream, every hidden rock, every cave, every low place. Even the hairs of our heads are numbered. And God knows everything there is to know because He is omniscient and He has complete knowledge of everything and everyone. The earth is firmly set. It is unmovable until God says it can be moved. There may be a shooting star, but there will never be a shooting earth. So sleep well tonight. Then it says, by understanding hath He established the heaven. Understanding has to do with intelligence. Someone said, man thinks up to the third dimension. God's understanding is unlimited. But it's through His understanding that He established the heavens. The heavens are established. They're fixed. They're set. They're firmly set. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4, says, O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think. The psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, when I consider all that is up there, that they are, whatever is up there is the work of God's fingers. They are not a work of His arm. The arm is for big things, like providing salvation for us. The fingers are for intricate work. It's His handiwork. It's like a lady and her needlework where everything is so intricate. But God, by the work of His fingers, made the heavens and the earth. Says the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained. Then He asks the question, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? What is man? Just a speck on earth. But what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Mindful is more than just being aware that man is here. Mindful means to mark, so as to recognize. It means to remember or to mention, to think on. My friend, God thinks on you. A boy meets a girl. To the boy, the girl is beautiful. So he loves the girl and he thinks on her. All of the time he is thinking of that girl. Now listen, this word mentioned is used of laws being cut in stone or metal tablets in primitive times. God said, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." I want you to know that God has you on the palm of his hands where he is reminded of you. He mentions you. He thinks on you all the time. Listen, God loves you. You are not insignificant to God. You are loved by him, and he thinks on you. He engraved you in the palm of his hand, not on the bottom of his feet where he never sees it, but in the palm of his hands where he continually sees your name every day and all through the day. My friend, God is mindful of you. When discouraged, focus on God as a faithful, compassionate one. Yes, God is compassionate. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, verse 22, says it like this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Well, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to us. Jesus cares. He never stops caring. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 36. Jesus is looking at the multitude. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That is, he felt sympathy for them, pity for them. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw them, that they were overcome with sin and false doctrine and false religion, and they fainted and they were scattered. The word scattered means to fling. It does not mean just to distribute in an orderly manner. It's not even as a man sowing seeds. But it means to fling. And people are just flung everywhere. Flung abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were in total confusion, just like the world is today. And Jesus saw their dilemma. He felt their burden. He could meet their need. Jesus had compassion that moved him to meet the need of perishing people. Oh, when we're overcome with the injustices of this world system, just focus on God, because a judgment by truth and righteousness is coming. God will not allow that which mars his beautiful creation, fights against his purpose, and troubles us to remain forever. Listen, when discouraged, focus on the goodness of God. Just focus on how good God is. Now, man is not good. The scripture says, Psalm 14:1, there is none that doeth good. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Matthew 19:17, Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. And then Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. When measured by God's high standard of perfection, not one person in all the human race is good. In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul had been saved. He was a saved man. But he saw himself in the light of God's holiness. And Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, old nature, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So, Paul said, in me there is nothing good. We must allow God to be our goodness, our wisdom, our power, and our redemption. And let God do the work He called you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God called you to do a certain work. Now we must surrender to Him and allow Him to do that work through you. God only is good. A young man stayed in our mission house. He left his business card that included these words, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. The psalmist said, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Yes, when discouraged, focus on the grace of God, because it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, and we need to focus on the grace of God. Psalm 116, verse 5 says, gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. In this verse, there are three things that we need to go to heaven. First, the Lord is gracious. That is, He's extended grace to us. Gracious means to stoop to an inferior. God gave us what we do not deserve, grace. He will meet us at our level of need or our level of faith. And if we do not have faith, God will work saving faith in us. But gracious is the Lord and righteous. God will give to us the gift of His righteousness. And that's Romans 5:17. And then there is mercy. God is merciful. Mercy is God withholding that which we do deserve. God is a righteous one. He is righteousness Himself. And He has surrounded us with grace and mercy. So, we want to be right, but do not be hard-hearted. Do not use truth as a weapon. Have grace and extend mercy. See, there is grace, plenty of grace. There is grace to save us. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. There is grace for our standing. Romans 5:2. There is grace to serve Him. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:10. The Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God, Paul was what he was. Grace had made him that great apostle. And he said, His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. I'm not the one that was doing all the laboring. It was the grace of God which was with me. So by the grace of God, I am what I am. God's grace had reached the Apostle Paul. Paul was involved in false religion. He was a hater and a persecutor of religion, of religious Christian people. He hated anything to do with Jesus Christ. And yet the mercy of God, the grace of God, saved him on the Damascus Road. And now he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I can just hear the humility in his voice as he says that. Listen, there is grace to sustain us. 1 Corinthians 12:9. That grace will be brought to us when Jesus comes again. In 1 Peter 1:13, that is, He will shower us with more grace. Listen, 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace will be revealed through the endless eons of eternity. Listen to Ephesians 2:7. Listen, this is exciting, my friend. If you are a Christian, this should cause you to be excited in your soul, because it says that in the ages to come, that in the eons of eternity, the forever of eternity, the course of eternity, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For all eternity, God is going to reveal to us more of his grace. And through grace, God placed salvation in reach of every one of us and made it simple for us to receive it. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. So be sure to look away from yourself and look to the love of God, the grace of God, and the mighty power of God. Remember, we can never work enough to save ourselves. We can never be good enough to save ourselves. We can never be pure enough in our own power and struggle to satisfy God's perfection. We can never be holy enough to satisfy the holiness of God. We can never be righteous enough to merit God's salvation. When discouraged because of the enemy's attack, focus on the mighty power of God. Psalm 62:11, the psalmist wrote, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power, God's power, belongeth unto God. God has power to redeem us, restore us, and to reuse us. He has power to remake the vessel. We need not try to manipulate God and push him in the direction of our selfish desires. Learn God's will for your life and surrender to it. Because in every prayer and result of every action, we must allow for the sovereignty of God. God is power. His word is power. The gospel is power. So let us share the powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at home and abroad. And have confidence in the love, the faithfulness of God. And confess and trust him. He knows our down sitting, our uprising. He understands our thoughts afar off. Listen, he knows all about us. He knows our needs, our weaknesses, our sins, our failures, our desires to serve him. There is someone who understands. He remembers we are but dust. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Someone wrote, oh, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Listen, when you're discouraged because of the condition of the world, and there seems to be no end to it all, focus on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1:11. The disciples have been talking to the Lord Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus began to ascend to heaven. He was slowly going up, and the disciples were standing there, eyes wide, mouth open, not knowing what to think, though Jesus had told them that he was going to be crucified, then he would be raised from the dead. They were just in a shock. But there were two men dressed in white, two heavenly beings, standing there, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Oh, that same Jesus, the one with the wounds in his hands, the one with the riven side, the one who roared from Mount Zion, it is finished, is the same one who went up in victory. Now he is in heaven by the right hand of the Father, resting in victory. He has victory for you and me. And our victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will make all things new. And we're looking forward to His coming. Listen, when you're discouraged because of failing health, focus on a new body. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 20 and 21 says, for our conversation is in heaven. Conversation means our citizenship. You see, our citizenship is where Jesus is, in heaven. This world is not our final home. We're just passing through. And our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look. We look for the Savior. We look for Jesus from heaven. Not in a desert, not on TV, not in a high-rise building or some special church service. How we look for Him to descend from heaven, who shall change our vile body. Thank the Lord, this body of humiliation, this body of limitation will be changed, that it may be fashion-like, form-like, or be-like unto His glorious body. According to the working whereby He is able. He is able. We're not able. No person is able to change a body. But He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He is able to bring all things into subjection unto Him. It will be a body of dignity. He is fashioning our bodies like unto His body. Results in honor, praise, glory, and worship of Him. So dwell or focus your attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on this temporal, fast-fleeing world system. My friend, the best is yet to come. Focus on the incomprehensible truth that we see Him when we stand in His likeness and in His glory. The battle that we're having now will seem so small. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 John 3:2 said, beloved, that this present time, this moment, are we the sons of God? Sons of God means we have a relationship with Him. We are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't understand what it's going to be like because the best is yet to come. But we know something. We know from the Word of God that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Oh, that is the reason the songwriter wrote, I shall wear a crown. Another wrote, oh, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb that once was slain, but now liveth again to make intercession for me. Oh, the Lamb of Calvary. We will see the Lamb of God that was once offered in sacrifice. He has the marks of our redemption on Him. We will see the one who will take the title deed to the earth from the Heavenly Father and return to earth with us and claim that which is rightfully His. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, He's coming in glory. Glory is the sum total of all that God is and does. Jesus is the glory of God, and His glory will be revealed in us. Someone wrote, when all my labors and trials are over, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That, oh, that will be glory for me. When this life is over, I shall wear a crown. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There was a time when God did something for me. He saved me. That is the rest of salvation. There was a time when God did something in me. He crucified me and filled me. That is rest in service. Please learn this great truth. For the remainder of my life, I want God to do something through me. That is the rest of discipleship. Now, in the conclusion of this message, I want to ask you, where is your focus? I pray it is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're not saved, this would be the most wonderful, opportune time for you to trust Jesus. You could ask Him to come into your heart. Now, just why don't you bow your will, your heart, bow your head, and pray a simple prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, I do not deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But I don't want to go to that awful place. And I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. And dear Lord Jesus, the best that I know how, I'm repenting of my sins and inviting You to come into my life and my heart. Save me for time and eternity. Lord, change me. Make me into a vessel of honor and help me to do Thy will. And I will serve You all the days of my life. Now, dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, I would like for you to write to us the address on this CD. And we will enroll you in our free correspondence school and send you literature that will help you to grow in your newfound faith. But we encourage you to accept Christ. And Christian, now is the time to focus on this great God who is mindful of you and allow Him to protect you, direct your life, and that you will know the glory, the joy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give You praise. Thank You for listening to this tape. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.